How do you grow an app for elders? Hello and welcome to Growth Masterminds. My name is John Katsir. Today's a little bit different. We're not talking about games. We're not diving into the latest high-tech stuff for young people, but we are chatting with a very fast-growing app for a very specific cohort of people, our elders. The app is GenWise. You might even think of it as a super app. It's growing fast in India, and we're chatting with the senior product manager, Ayush Chowdhury. Welcome, Ayush.
Hey, thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Super pumped to have you. We were just having fun chatting, getting to know each other a little bit. We're both getting screwed because you're up early and I'm up late, but you're in India. I'm in Vancouver, Canada. Somebody's going to get screwed, but it's all good. We're chatting. We're going to have some fun. Tell me about GenWise.
I'll start with the name. GenWise is basically two words, generation wise. And the name comes from the point that it's the generation of our elders, people who pretty much taught us everything that we know right now. And something that we've grown up with, how we navigate the world. We've learned all of this from them, right? Our parents, our elders. However, with the current changes that have been happening in technology, right? They're quick, very quick. And we also have a lot of hard time catching up with everything that's been going on. So we feel that there's a gap in how our elders navigate the digital world, the digital transformation that's been happening. And it's not easy for them because they came across technology, the kind of technology we use right now, even smartphones, they came across all of it at when they were already middle-aged. And they've been lagging behind and how tech makes our lives very easier, right? We don't see it happening for them as quickly, right? Get everything on a tap of a button, but they don't. And it's not. So they don't use it to the fullest. Smartphones are used pretty much for very basic stuff like making calls and maybe watching a few videos on YouTube and then just watch it, right? Yeah. And so that is one of the things that we are trying to build for, right? And what GenWise is, there are two parts that we at GenWise focus on, right? One is this, that people with our elders with tech understanding, how can we make it easier for them to access tech from all features, you could say, or all sort of services. And there's one more part that we've been working on, which is, I'm sure you must have heard that loneliness has been a primary issue with people when they grow older, when their work lives are done, right? And they're either retired and they've not got a lot happening in their lives, right? And then the loneliness part comes in because now all their friends, all their social circle it's not the way it used to be. Right. Yeah. And what GenWise tries to do is we are trying to work on these two parts. One would be technology access to tech from the utility point of view. The other part is we can help them combat this loneliness issue, which statistically also has been growing much faster. It's more like an epidemic. We lose a lot of people because of that every year. Right. Yep. And these are the two areas that we want to focus on. And that is what we are building towards right now.
That makes a ton of sense. My mom is 88 years old and I see her with her phone and she pretty much makes phone calls on it, watches a few things on YouTube. And she used to text, but not so much anymore. It's really hard. The concept of apps and different apps. She's always telling me, did you see this on your phone? Because it's like the newspaper, right? If she saw it on her phone, clearly I must have seen it on my phone. So it is challenging. It is pretty cool. We're going to get into a lot of stuff. We're going to get into what's it look like to grow an app like this? How do you do that? Who's the market? Who do you even approach for that? We're going to talk about monetization, all that stuff. Before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about how you're building the various things in your app. Because of course, you're building some features as almost an assistant, right? Is that AI based or is there a person that you'll connect them to?
Okay. It's actually both at this point. We have been, so there'll be three parts in this. We have three sort of different services where either an agent, a real person, or an AI could help them with either day-to-day tasks or just for their engagement, something if they're generally getting bored or they don't have somebody to talk to. Like if my mom and my dad, they live in a different city, right? And we get to talk maybe every 2 or 3 days. And that's for 15, 20 minutes. And then they have the rest of the almost 24 hours to themselves, right? So there are a couple of services. I'll just give you a brief. So there's this concierge service, I would say, or there's this personal assistant service where they can just call. And if there's a new technology that they'd want to learn about, let's say it could be something as basic as how do I send and attach pictures on WhatsApp, to how do I use the food delivery apps, to how do I get to order on Amazon, right? there's a service where they can just call and they can share the screen, or our agents or our the trained people, they can present the screens and show that this is the button that you click on, this is what it means, where do you change the language, how do you create an account. From all that services are there, and those are taught by real humans, because that is the kind of interaction that they're also looking for, right? It's not just that they could go and watch a video, because that video is still available on YouTube. You could go and do a quick search, how to use Amazon, and you'll find it, right? But it's the human touch that they're looking for. So that part comes into the play. Then there is a service where we have this AI bot to which they can talk to on a daily basis. And a lot of our members actually do that. We've seen that growing very quickly, where they can just talk. So consider it ChatGPT, but it's connected to the internet on a real-time basis. And then it also offers a couple of other customized services for them. So I would say, let's say if you are a religious person or you want to talk about, let's say, Gita, you can just ask them, what does this particular shloka means? And ask the bot, right? And it would tell them that this is what it meant. This is what Lord Krishna said. So it comes from that. You can play games with that AI bot. You can just talk to them about everything that's happening on a day-to-day basis, whether it's just weather, right? Whether what's the temperature and everything. And it might seem like very normal to us, right? Because we have all these apps available on our phone. But the whole problem is that the target audience or the people that we are building for, the elders, they don't use tens of apps. So that is another part. And then about the loneliness part, there's also a service which we call Genwise Sathi. You could say it means, Sathi means basically a companion, right? A friendly advisor. And where, again, there are real humans, trained professionals. They are not medical counselors or legal counselors or anything of that sort. But it's people that you can talk to about your emotions, your feelings, how you've been feeling. And it gives them this sort of connection that they might not have at that point with their friends or with their family, right? And you still need to share your feelings with somebody. Otherwise, you stay in that loop where you're feeling bad, where you are sad, and it's not working out.
Yes.
Right? So that requires human interaction that we do not believe that AI is at that level right now, that it can be a companion in terms of for the elder especially. Right. So these are the things that we're working on.
Super interesting, because of course you can chat with ChatGPT, as you were saying, and there's all these apps out there for like an AI girlfriend, an AI boyfriend, and all this stuff, and apps that people develop deep emotional attachment to. And if there's a service interruption, it's a massive issue. But I like what you're saying, especially for older people, giving them that option, but also giving them an option to talk to a real person makes a ton of sense. Okay, talk about growth here. You raised around $3.5 million seed round. That's a big seed round. You're growing fast. How do you grow in this market? I think most people in the mobile app growth space understand generally how to grow apps. You're going to buy ads often in other apps. You're going to do a variety of things that are going to put your message in front of interested people or potentially interested people, and you will get some percentage of those people as users, as players, as customers. That's a different thing than going after an elder segment where they may not use apps, as you were talking about. How do you market to this segment?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is something that, of course, this has been, when we started, we were also in this dilemma that if we are talking about people who do not use tech, how exactly are we going to find them online, right? And so we do actually a lot of stuff in terms of how we find our users, the right target segments, right? So it's not purely digital. It's I would say right now we are not we don't have an omni-channel presence. But we have figured out a few things that really work well for us, right? So in terms of digital, I would say we reach out to people above the age of 45 as of now, right? Because that is the segment where it falls at the point the tech was not available, easily accessible when they were younger, right? Especially mobile phones and apps. And then afterwards, and of course, everyone afterwards has found it more difficult to adopt to new technologies, right? So we do think that a lot of this segment has created their accounts and has tried being active on Facebook, right? So if you look at a split of other people or by age groups and demographics, right? Instagram houses around 9% of their people are only above the age of 45. Rest, all of them are below 45, right? But on Facebook, it's a little different. It's around 20 to 23%. I'm not sure if that's the exact number, but it's higher. right? Because that is the segment, because they've reached that technology so late. That is also an example, something that we've been using for 10, 15 years. They've started using it in last 3-4 years, I would say properly. So that is where they spend a lot of time, and they are there because of actually the same problems, because they don't have companions or friends around them, right? And this is how they stay connected now. So now there are some digital channels, like let's say Facebook is one of them. However, we do a lot of physical events as well, right? So we go to these resident welfare associations, the big societies, right? Each society has their welfare association. We go to them, we organize a certain events over there. So I'll give you an example. There are a lot of online scams and frauds that happen, right? And older people, elders, they're really worried about that. If I'm using something on my phone, am I going to get scammed? Am I going to get due? Is somebody going to take away my money if I get a call? And it happens a lot, right? It happens more frequently than we think. So we organize sort of events where we tell people that how do you protect yourself against such kind of issues, such kind of frauds and scams, right? And these are very informative, educative sessions, right? And those have also worked out very well for us in terms of getting user traction and getting people to come on the app and use it, because we have all those services on how to protect yourself on the app as well.
Right.
So we figure out a lot of these cases, and then we organize these physical events, and that it has worked out really well for us so far.
Cool. I almost wondered when I heard about your app and checked it out, is it almost somewhat like a kids app in a sense, in that for kids apps, you market to parents and you want them to install the app for their kids. And I wondered if in this case, if you would market to adult kids.
Yeah.
Who would say, hey, mom, hey, dad, you should have this on your phone. Here it is. Do you do that at all? Is that something you're exploring?
Yeah. Okay. So we do that, but I would say that's not where we spend money, right? In terms of marketing, this is not where we are spending money. I'll tell you why. If I just talk about the Gen Y team, right? We are a bunch of young people. I mean, everyone in the team would be below 35, right? And we have our social presences on LinkedIn, on Twitter, everywhere, right? All the social media platforms that other people like our age would be available, right? And it's also our network that is going through the same kind of issues, that they live in a different city than their parents, right? So what we do is a very big chunk of our organic efforts is directed towards the people our age, right? On our social media platforms, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, where we talk about what we are trying to do, what Gen Y is trying to solve for the elders. As of now, we are doing it for Indian elders, but I'm sure it's a similar problem across the world, right? So we reach out, we put out our organic marketing efforts towards the younger generation, towards the kids, right? And we have on the product end, we have this family feature, where what you can do is that if you are a child, if you are somebody young who wants to take care of their parents from away, right? So we have built this family feature where you can just add your family and you can set medicine reminders for your parents, right? Or you can talk to them or with screen share and teach them if they want to learn something, right? So we've got these things built in, and we use organic efforts to market that to the younger audience. And I would say around 10 to 15% of our traction comes from this, where younger people join the app and they invite their parents, right? So nice. One younger person, if I join Gen Y, I'm going to invite at least 2 or 3 people, right? Even if I just invite my closest of the family members, right? So it works as a loop for us, that if my parents have joined, they are going to invite, let's say, my brother and maybe my sister-in-law, and then she's going to invite her parents. We've seen this track being there. People have added even 50 friends and family members of themselves on the app, right? So that has worked really well for us, because we realize that the part where we talk about loneliness and staying connected, it is also about the family. People have not been that connected to their family. Like, I've been away from my home for almost 8 years now, and my parents would like to spend more time with me in whatever way they can. Right. And we've seen that happening on Gen Y's as a product, in terms of the Gen Y's family as a product. And we see that, yeah, the younger audience is very interested in getting their parents to be more technically independent and solve the problems that we think all the elders generally. And it also serves as a proof of concept for us, because we see it as more and more people our age and the elder do feel that this is exactly the kind of problem that we need to solve right now. So it gives us that confidence, and it has worked great for us by just reaching out to younger audience and telling them that you can take care of their parents from here.
Very cool. I can see that working on TikTok, which of course you can't download in India right now.
Yeah.
But there are local versions as well. So I can see that marketing message working organically there also. I want to get into monetization in a moment and what that looks like and how that works for this app and this demographic. But we've been talking around it a few times, but we haven't really hit it. The concept of super app, obviously that hasn't taken off in North America. Obviously that's huge in China. Yeah. How is that in India right now? Is that something that is a thing? Because you've got all these communication features, help features, entertainment features, information features, financial features, a lot of other different things that you're bundling together. Talk about that in the context of India.
Right. Okay. You are absolutely right when you say that super apps haven't been the kind of success everyone thought they'd be, right? And I would say there are similar trends in India. There are a couple of platforms that are still trying, like the Tata New platform and all the Jio platform. All of them are trying to be super apps for a certain segment of users. But there is a difference, I would say, a small difference. Apps are generally all the platforms that they are trying to build, right? All the things that they are trying to bring together. All of them require transactional efforts. Right. So if I'm using Jio's app, there are 10 different platforms that have been combined, right? And all of them are basically allowing me to access some particular service, right? In our case, that would be a little different. So we are not building features and trying to monetize each of them separately, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got the engagement features, we've got features around utility, the banking related, health related, and all that, right? Consider it product or a feature that we'd like to build, right? Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time in talking to our users and figuring out that this is the problem that works for a certain segment. So all our features get used by a certain small segment of people. Let's say some features get used by almost 80% of our daily active users and some get used by 20%, right? All of it comes together because how we approach it is that on a day-to-day basis, what are the 3, 4, 5, 6 things that this segment would like to do, right? There's this WhatsApp greeting feature where people just find greetings at their names and photos and send it across their friends and family network on WhatsApp, right? That is part of their morning ritual now. So they wake up, they do it, they share greetings, they reach out to their family members, and that is how the day starts, right? Then there are these content platform where, and then these Gen Y's events where there are live events, right? Where we teach yoga early morning. Then we have these online games where they can come and play with a group of people, right? And they are done at a certain time. So at 8 or 9 in the morning, then at 2 in the afternoon, and then 6 in the evening where there's a devotional program or something of that sort, which keeps changing. And then we have these events where we teach people how to use a new tech, right? Part of their life. So they have a lot of free time available on their hands. And that is because they've spent a lot of time working and now a lot of them have retired, right? Mm-hmm. We apply that approach that there is something for you to do every time you open GenWise, irrespective of which time of the day is it, right?
That's so cool.
6 a.m., you have something going on. You do it at 9 a.m., you have something going on. You come at 2 in the afternoon, you have something. It's time for you to sleep. You can come and watch some videos, right? Like how we do on Instagram or TikTok. We do watch, scroll a lot. So it's all of that has been built that way. I would not say it's a super app as of now. It's a combination of few features that we already have. We've got reminders on our phones, right? We can just use clock. Mm-hmm. But we've just combined all of this at one place with very simple user interface, and it makes it easier for them to access it. So we do seem like a super app, but we are very focused on what we are trying to build right now. And
that makes a ton of sense. I absolutely love it. Super simple, super easy, always something to do. And all the key stuff. I'm assuming large fonts, easy to read, large buttons, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It makes sense because it's hard for older people to learn these things. It just is. And then hard to read on a typical phone and all this stuff. So what's the monetization model? Is it subscription? Is it ad monetization? What is it, a combination?
Right. So right now So this is 30th of November, right? We have started our monetization activities last month from the middle of October, right? We of course, as a business, we've wanted to focus on building a sustainable business and not wait till we have a certain set of users that we've hit a million or something or a number, and then we try to go for it. We want to see that the features that we are building are valuable enough for the users that it's a service that they'd want to pay for at a certain time, Right. So mm-hmm. we've started the monetization part. It's in the early steps as of now. It's at more transaction basis. There is no subscription as of now, but mm-hmm. it would definitely be something that we'll consider. And we are still considering it, but we've not hit that point where we feel that a subscription would be sold as a solution. Mm-hmm. It's more of a transactional basis. So a couple of services where people come and talk to our trained agents and whether they learn something or whether they are looking for somebody to talk to. So you get to experience the service through first few free calls and mm-hmm. you get to explore what it is like. You get to explore whether you see some value out of it or not. And then we charge a very minimal fee afterwards that goes even down, it goes down even further. If you are, let's say, if you are a regular user or if you use the service more frequently, it goes down very drastically. So I'll give you an example. For 300 minutes of calling, you pay, I think from current exchange, it would be around $2, right?
Wow.
$2.5. So mm-hmm. that is something that we've seen a lot of good traction on. A lot of our users who've been using that service when it was available for free for the first 2-3 months. A lot of our users who have, they've decided to continue using the service, right? And it is a service that was focusing on helping them be either more technically independent or find a companion or something to share with, right? And we've seen a lot of good feedback on that. And we've seen users coming and continue using that service despite we've started charging for it after a certain period of time. So it has worked well. We've seen really good signs. It's better than what I expected when we started. We were not expecting the kind of traction in a month and a half. But it has been great. And I think we are going to build towards a subscription future, maybe in a going forward. But then there's also this problem with subscription, right? It's difficult to build, especially in a market like India. People would like to use a service, explore it for a certain time, and then maybe you can get them a bill and they'll pay.
And that makes a lot of sense because a lot of people pay for their phones that way also, correct?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's the habit that they've been developing, right? Even at the retail stores, it might not work that way in the Western countries. But in India, if you have a retail store in your society, right, you go to them, you get your stuff, and they write it on in their diary or their books, right? And then you pay at the end of the month. You go mm-hmm. to the person who sells vegetables and he's going to or she's going to give you this, maybe let's say a slip or something. And then you come at the end of the month and you pay that bill. And it's a physical habit that they've been already habitual of. So it's not easy to break. They move them from bill payment to prepayments.
Interesting. Well, I will say this. It's much easier to build something that works with the habits that somebody already has than try to force them to break that habit, especially with something new, especially with technology for older people. And that's already a little bit unfamiliar territory. Yeah. Super, super interesting.
Right.
Cool. It's been exciting to hear a little bit about it and to hear which is your marketing plan, which is very different than many apps. I think that we'll see more of that, honestly, as we go forward. We're seeing more of it now already. Even in the Western world, you've seen offline marketing, you've seen out-of-door marketing, you've seen sponsorship marketing, other things like that. It's not just in-app advertising. Cool to hear what's going on with your app in India. Thank you so much for taking this time.
Thank you so much, John. It was great talking to you.